Because mostly, you know, I have a paragraph, I can't feed this faculty special ed material when there's so much else going on. Can't feed them too much at one time.
Sure.
It's okay.
All right, we're going to continue on with our board meeting at 5 minutes. Oh, excuse me just a second. Sorry, that got caught in my throat. All right. We are in discussion item number 3, which is an update on opening of school. Marshall.
Okay, just kind of short. We had a great opening this year. Christy and I were able to get around to all of the schools and get into a lot of classrooms. We didn't get into every classroom, but we were able to get into a lot of classrooms on Thursday. Obviously, some hiccups every once in a while. On Friday, busing was for the sixth graders was a little bit of a challenge getting them there on time. We did I did one of the routes, and unfortunately, she had to come in from Cache to come to do ours, and they had had an accident or something that she couldn't get through, and so by the time they got, we were about 10 minutes late to school. They were supposed to be there about 8:15. We got there about 8:25, but that's on the bus that I drove.
Oh, I'm like, oh, got you.
As we're looking at, you know, I've sent you some information. Some information is also in board book about where we are on class sizes. Things seem to be fairly good. Again, this is students that are assigned, but a lot of times those students don't actually physically show up. We're usually at about 92%, 93% of first day numbers when we get to our October 1 counts. If we did that, we would be approximately the exact same as where we are this year. As I'm looking at each of the individual schools, we're in fairly good shape. The high school, they are obviously, they have some, as they were doing their assignments, there were some departments, specifically social studies, that had higher numbers than they've had before. But if you look at the overall, and I will send you, can't remember if I sent. I just received an analysis from Shane on last year to this year of numbers, and the levy money has reduced class sizes in your science and math as well as language arts because of the AP. So there have been reductions in there, though there have been some increases. He's trying to balance those through as best that they can and see what they can do. But there are still some large classes, specifically in your Spanish, and some math classes are still large. They have a challenge in their honors math 3. They have 3 sections the first semester and only 2 the second. And so we're kind of watching those, because if you look at the numbers, you know, there's a large number, and there's about 39 to 40 in all of those sections. You've got about 120 kids going into 2 sections potentially. So we've got to kind of watch that as to what will happen second semester. We will continue to monitor. We are fully staffed. We have 2 speech language pathologists that we have hired part-time. They are willing to come in part-time, and we're finalizing their contracts and things. They're not on right now.
Will we supplement those with someone else part-time, or that will be sufficient for
the We needed 1 FTE, and what we've gotten are 2 actually that will go between 50 to 70%. Okay. So we're actually going to get more out of it, and they're working moms, but they want to stay home for as much as they can. So it's kind of a win-win for both them as well as us. The pool has been very, very low. With our staffing, anyone hired in the last week and a half before school started, we put them on a 1-year contract. And we'll make a determination on that just because we did not have a lot of options in many of the positions. So far, things went well with our new teacher induction. We, you know, we're going to be watching and monitoring, but we are going to be in a situation that is just beginning. This year is a challenge. It will be even worse next year. An example, this year the university graduated 27 students in mild moderate. They only have 9 students who are up for graduation next year. that's a large decrease. If you look at the number of student teachers this year, it's gone down by over half. We wanted more interns, co-teaching interns. We had five. We've actually taken two of those and made them as regular interns in the elementary because of late resignations. So we only have three of the co-teaching. And we had really beat the drums to try to get even the five they would have done. But there's just not a lot of candidates out there. So this is kind of the beginning of a very interesting slippery slope that we're on. Again, it's kind of cyclical, and we're into that crisis.
I'm gonna get hired again in 2017.
Before 2017, probably. So we've done well. We're watching and we're monitoring. If you notice the elementary schools, there are a couple that had assigned 30 students at the fifth grade, but we don't go over that. I got to go in. They're starting to weed those out, and I'm actually checking daily to see where we are with actual bodies within those classrooms, the numbers are looking pretty good. Anything else you'd like to know about the opening?
I think that our complaints that are coming our way mostly is from the social studies issue at the high school. I don't know. I'm sure my fellow board members have heard from that as well. So you're going to get us comparisons from this year to last year,
mm-hmm.
because mostly what we hear is that the levy money didn't help reduce class sizes in social studies.
It did.
If we can have a comparison.
Well, it would not in social studies.
It
did in the others, in the other areas. Let me look and I can.
It didn't in social studies.
But it wasn't meant for social studies.
No.
And as they hired, they did hire more in the science and math area. So there were less sections covered. And let me see from Shane. I can quickly. He sent it this morning. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are almost 40 teachers who have less this year than they had last year. Students first semester.
That's good to know.
And I will send this the class sizes. And that is, obviously there's been teachers that have moved, but comparable people in their replacements. So I will send that to you, and so you have that. There was a concern on a person who had contacted Lynn in regard to a lunch problem at the middle school. We will work on that. And the daughter did not, as a sixth grader, only had 5 minutes to eat and didn't want to talk to anybody, and the parents were incensed that their child did not have time to eat. So I will make contact with them as well as Mike and Paul. If there are any concerns, please let me know if you're getting anything. That would be helpful for me so I can follow up on them.
All right. Any questions about opening of school for Marshall? It was fun to be able to go on opening day and see all the excitement. It's fun to go in there because it's all so quiet and the students are all so calm and the backpacks are hung up. And you go in there on the last day, it's not quite the same, but it was really fun to be able to go there. All right. Seeing that no other comments from Marshall, we will go on to our update on the audit process, which is from our business administrator, Jeff Barman. Jeff.
Okay. Well, our schedule is we're trying to be done by September 8th. The auditors are actually going to start doing some of the auditing and pulling of samples starting September 2nd. And so kind of had a tight schedule. I've been staying after a little bit. I know that Adam's been coming in at nights and stayed pretty late on several nights. I think we've submitted about 30 to 40% of the stuff that they've asked for. We're probably right now about 75% there. I'm cautiously optimistic that by September 2nd, we'll have 90 to 95% and be able to hopefully get the rest of that. We are still waiting for some things from some of the elementary schools. I'm waiting for some information from the county, and so we're waiting on those to, before we can finish some of the reports. But, you know, in the next few days and by next week, we're hoping that we can be there. So,
good report.
Very good. Anything for Jeff?
Do we? I noticed with what you sent us, but my confusion was what we had at the end was not necessarily what's going to the audit, correct? But there was what was in board book. Were those the audited things that will be going to the auditors?
Those are just financial reports.
Okay, well, it had a lot more information than what Zane gave us, because it had kind of end of year, and one was 150% and some of those things. Is that for our later report rather than the audit report?
Yeah, that's for the later report.
Okay, I will ask my questions then.
Okay.
Okay.
And we just, when we met at as the audit committee, we just thought that if we had a little update on how the process of the audit was going between now and the time we actually have the audit, then we at least know the progress of what's happening, because our goal is to definitely have the audit in on time.
We've asked Sean to follow up with us, and he called us last week, and so we had that discussion. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're getting close to finalizing that we haven't, and so hope, you know. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to complete those by the 2nd, at least 90 95% of those, and then by the 8th, we should be able to finish up the rest. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And it was due to the state by November 30th?
Yes. Uh-huh.
November 30th. So we're hoping to
have it approved
the board meeting before the November 30th deadline, correct?
Yeah.
Is that our plan? That's what we thought we planned. So, very good. Thank you, Jeff. Next is the discussion on master boards. I just was looking over the requirements for master boards, and one of those things is that we each need to attend 2 community council meetings before the 1st of December. And so we have a very short window to get that done. We'll just have September, October, and November.
Right. And what it will do is
3 months.
I just have been trying to go on to the websites and finding
dates,
thinking that I could find the dates,
no.
And that's not a possibility. So we will get you by the end of the week. We'll get you the calendars of each of the schools. I would just ask if you would let me know which ones you're trying for. And then I would just make contact with the principal generally and saying, hey, this is one of the things that board members are just trying to, they want to see how things are going and they may be coming. So just letting them know.
And we just want to make sure that we don't have 3 of us there at one time.
Right.
And I would probably go to Bridger and Ellis. So.
But we'll work on that list and get that out to you. And then if you could just kind of let us know what your anticipated plans are, then we'll let the schools know.
Let's make sure we don't.
And then the other one is that our appreciation notes, we'll start working on those again at our next work session, which also will count as one of our community service, I think is what I put that under, for our thank you notes. So we'll send out a few more thank you notes at our work session on September 9th.
Right. And what we'll do also for our work session is kind of have us check where we are on all of us and make sure that we've gone through. I think a goal would be if we have not finished the financial, the test. Assessment on that we have all the tests done by September 9th. And then we want to make sure we provide you with the opportunities so that we aren't just cramming everything in to just get it done in November. We'll probably still have some crashing, but we'll try to not do it quite as much as we did perhaps last year.
That includes you, Jeff, by the way. We expect you to get the Master Boards Award. Because we got look at him.
we'll talk.
In order for us to get it, you have to get it.
Yes.
So we're,
Okay. Well, we got it. Well, we got the first year.
Good.
There. Where are you guys at? Are you the second?
We're on third.
We're on third year.
Okay, I'm just going to skip a year.
Whatever's fine with me. Anyway, so I just felt like it was pressing that we get to community council meetings, so that's why we had that on the agenda for tonight, is to make sure you're participating in those in the next 3 months. So, okay, we're going to go into action items, which is exciting. We have our action item on the first and second reading of the modifications to to harassment and safe school policies. Marshall and board member Ann will help us with
this. This was a little unique. There is some requirements in the new state law that specifically talk about the notification of parents on threats, specifically just if there are potential suicides, bullying, cyberbullying, harassment, hazing, or retaliation. Ann and Dave are working on the safe school. This is, we have all these different little policies all over the place, and what Ann and Dave have been trying to do with the committee is to get it so that we have a policy that covers and procedures that cover all the things that we need to, because there's so much overlapping. And instead of repeating it in five different spots and forgetting that we didn't have it in five different spots, we're trying to get it into one. However, to meet the needs of this, so that the sheet that I have had to say that we will have it in by September 1, this specific change needs to be having a first and second and final reading tonight. And it's just in the addition of, as you can see, the language that specifically talks about the notification on certain instances. So,
can I make one comment on the overlap? Just really quickly, I was pulling today for to meet the requirements of having prevention presentations for suicide and other things. And I went through the board, the state board policy of all the things that we're being asked to do now each year on the safety list. And I think I pulled 26 different state board rules that all apply to safety, that are all wrapped up in what you're about to be presenting.
So what this does is it allows us to meet that part of the need, but understand that this is coming back to you in a much bigger and broader, and because
really
safe school policy really does have the cyberbullying, it does have, which then goes into acceptable use, responsible use. I mean, there's so many things that this becomes. So, but this specific thing, part of it, and notice that in the actual policy, we're just adding a few words. Procedures, we're adding a little bit more, and that wording comes from the new law as it was passed by the legislature this past year. Any questions?
We're all speechless.
I agree. This goes on to so many things.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, this one I don't mind. It's the next one that drives me crazy.
Are some of these taken from other places?
Maybe.
Well, like the initiation 133A1, is that taken from another?
That actually comes from the law.
Okay, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we passed this law, we passed the policy, and so it's just what's underlined is the new new additions, and then we would have the revision date here.
Technically, what you're passing tonight is and notifying parents of certain instances and threats. So
that's the
policy.
The policy change.
But we also felt that this time that we would have a clarification of procedures, which is the rest of what the state law is requiring.
Do we have a parent notification of student threat report form?
The state has a standard form that we will be using. It's a model form.
But we'll be getting that out to the
yes.
staff, so they've got that.
Once this is approved by you, it will get out to the staff. This is on page 233.
She doesn't go in that way.
Oh.
She goes in
gotcha.
On the other
oh, sorry.
One. So.
I'm there.
So how does the policy parental rights, is that
No, we're on, that'll be the next one.
Yeah, that's the next discussion.
Parental rights is a secondary one that we'll, all we are doing is first reading. There are two different policies we're dealing with tonight, but they both have to do with parents.
I see.
And they're both requirements by the state.
Do they seem redundant?
Eventually, when we rewrite the safety policy, it will have all of this in one policy, except this, that they want parents to know their rights. Part of it applies to safety and student conduct. And then part of it is this nebulous, if I'm a parent, I can ask for this and this unless it negatively impacts too much. And so that, we'll get to that one. So this one is
this one specifically is everything from 5-2A down is, for the most part, is taken from the
directly from
the law, with the exception of the record of parental notification. We just put that in.
But does that, is it okay that that's under procedure and not under policy according
yes.
to the law?
Yeah, because truly it says we will have a policy, and so our notifying parents of certain incidents and threats, that is truly all of it, that it is policy. As you read through the requirements by the state for a policy,
they're all procedures.
They're all procedures. 90% of them are procedures.
Okay.
And it's interesting, there are more and more of the school districts as you go in and study their policies. It's interesting, Alpine now says our policy, and it will be a one-line policy. And then they have a procedures, and then they have a rules section. Just because I think they're finding those procedures and rules change, but if your policy is, you know, the one or two lines,
it's the 30,000 foot level of the procedures
and
rules
so
to be.
More and more are trying to do like we are, is say, okay, here's the policy. The board has to adopt policies. We usually also do the procedures, but technically we don't have to adopt the procedures. And so those can change. And, you know, as we review them, then we can update procedures. And hopefully we get caught up enough that we can do revisions of policy procedure. Every year we just look through and say, oh, what needs to be changed? Well, this procedure is different. But truly it would be a director coming in and saying, our committee met. Here's the change in procedures we'd like to have. And it's really not a change in policy unless the state or our people decide we need to change the policy.
It's almost like in a classroom where you have classroom expectations. These are the, you know, be in your seat, do, this is what you do. And then you have a list of procedures which say, put your papers in this box, turn in your calculator, turn it off. I wanted to ask about 5-2B-3. Just the language, because most of the time it says person of authority, but it says school may disclose information to the parent, the student, or to a person if required to report due to a court order.
That comes directly out of the law.
That's just exactly acceptable.
And so if we have to report to a person that the court ordered us to report, whether that's a judge, whether it's a truancy officer, whether it's Division of Family Services,
temporary foster parent.
Yeah, and that's why it is a person.
They could have written that better.
Oh, that's why we.
They could have written the law much better.
You can see where it's pulled from the law.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need to keep what they have, because otherwise our interpretation may be different than theirs. So
that still probably is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we just need a motion on it.
All right.
And this one, if it is, if you feel that you can approve it, the recommendation would be to approve this on first and second and final reading.
I move that we approve the policy on what it is, policy on bullying, cyberbullying, and hazing.
I second the motion. Okay, we have a motion made
that
by.
That does need to say first and second and final.
First and second reading.
Thank you.
And final.
I resecond that motion. All right. I have a motion made by James, seconded by Connie, to accept the first, second, and final reading of modification to harassment and safe school policies. Any other comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for all the work that you did.
Thank
on
you,
it.
Anna Marshall.
That
That's great. Very hard. This next one, you can tell I had issues.
Okay, now we're on to the first reading of the parental rights policy.
Mm-hmm. And so the purpose probably needs to be redone, but of course I put the purpose the Utah legislature requires the boards of education.
This is Senator Osmond's bill.
Yes. And this is the one that originally was rights and responsibilities of parents. And then they ended up pulling the responsibilities out to get it passed.
Okay, yes.
And so, yeah, the purpose needs to be redone. And if anybody wants to let me know.
Well, the purpose
when does it need to be redone?
Parents' rights regarding their children.
Yes, I know I can do it very easily, but yeah. I was rebellious, so I will rewrite it.
Well, it's to specify.
Right, it's just to specify yeah. their rights.
This one is on just a first reading. This is very rough draft, just to kind of go through it and see if we're in the right. I mean, again, part of what you're reading is coming directly from the law.
That is almost entirely from the
3.2
law.
3.2 is certainly.
Can you indicate? Well, like
nebulous.
Yes.
So how this all came about was because they said parents have these rights. And probably the biggest one is 4.2J, excusing a student from taking a statewide or a NAEP test.
Yeah.
And that's because there were parents who, you know, because mm-hmm. of this, the evil Common Core and other things. Mm-hmm. And so this was passed to mollify a certain group of parents. And you notice, technically, our old attendance policy would have been in some ways conflict with this now that it says that you will excuse a child from school for attendance to a family event.
One of the things you need to understand from 4.2 to 4.3 is really, really important because we, even though they may request all of these things, we have the right to deny. Now, we have to have rationale and reasons for it, but there are some very specific things that we, for example, in the placement of a student, that is usually done in a joint process, and we consider the request of a parent, but in some cases that is not always the most appropriate place for that child to be.
Or
feasible place.
And you may have one teacher with 50 kids and the next teacher with 10.
Right. So there are some things.
But where does that say that in the policy? Because the parent's going to read that.
Because 4.3, schools may deny a request for the accommodation that substantially impacts.
4.3 is like.
That's really big.
Really? Yes, I'm saying.
Now, as I wrote this, I did it in. They did this part of the definition.
Yes.
To me, it's more of the policy. Okay. We could change 4.3 to 4.2 and vice versa. But in some ways, we're saying, okay, you wanted about parents' rights, but, yeah, you have this right, but we can deny it if this is here. Do you want me to change the order that that's in? Do you want to change 4.2 and 4.3?
No. No, I think that's right.
Because it's you can, however.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's what
unless
I
you
thought.
Want to put in a big however that's about 32 fonts.
Well, and up here we do have, I did put, you know, if it substantially impacts, I did it really big up top. And then you notice I've also, I have bolded it here just because I feel like we need to have it there.
You know what? I just wonder, how would you ever prove that a student not to, I'm just saying, how would you prove that it affected the efficient operation of your school to opt out of SAGE, one child? I just wonder.
That's very easy because at that point with our requirements for the federal government, all of those school, if they choose to go out, and a lot of times those students are at our higher end,
yes.
It actually damages the school and our overall, in this case, we have a school grade.
Yeah.
It will damage us in multiple ways with our accountability process.
Which we try to let the legislature know.
But of course, that was not. So down right. under procedures, we have parents will provide written requests to retain their student, place a child in a specialized class for an advanced course, excuse a child from stateway test or NAEP. And then I have for the others, parents will follow the procedure I outlined in the school's student handbook too. Uh-huh. I don't think we have 5.1 okay. point B. I don't think we want to make sure it's a written request to excuse students, because with our new parent link, it could be a text, it could be a voice message.
No, it has to be, we have to have written notification. So it can, but an email can be considered written notification.
Okay, well,
so we need to have a clarification.
So
cannot
I can't
be a voice.
Leave a message anymore?
Oh, well, this is just for them to,
you know.
If they're opting out
of the
they have to be able.
They have to have written
okay.
for that. This is for.
For which one?
Parents, okay, 5.1.B. Parents will follow the procedure outlined in the school student handbook to excuse a student from attendance
okay.
for a family
oh,
event.
Got you.
Initially request a teacher,
it's
request
below.
A change of teacher, visitor, observe a class.
No,
student
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I put that under you must do it in writing for those upper things.
Right.
The lower things, the school may have.
For
their
own, well, their procedures. They
right.
have to follow the procedures.
And so that's why I wrote it that way. I also, down here below, and since I wrote this, we've made a determination. So 5.2, you have to notify parents and students of this. And the accompanying policy serves as a notice to parents of their rights. And so we're going to have to send this out every year. The district schools, and then we jump to this other policy, will distribute their school's conduct and discipline policy. That's the one we're working on with Marcy, formerly the Safe Schools policy, to students, including students enrolled for the first time. And we're not, but it won't, it'll be the school's conduct. It'll be, we decided we'd do it as, we'll provide them with a copy of the district's conduct and discipline policy, the schools, and how did we word that, Marshall? The schools' procedures and rules, because schools don't have policies. They have
right.
procedures and rules. Or the schools' conduct and
yeah,
discipline rules,
right.
and including students the first time. Parents will be notified and provided with an opportunity.
So we're trying to get rid of, and it's going to take some time, but we need to, things that are at the school level should not be policy.
Why do you
Board
have
of Education sets policy.
Because that's part
percent.
Of the law. So if I come in the middle of the year, you have to hand that to me. So that's why that's in their rules. But it's supposed to be part of your policy, but we have it part of procedures. Parents will be notified and provided with an opportunity to acknowledge. It's an opportunity. It's not a requirement yet to acknowledge receipt of each school's discipline and conduct policy. It's not the school's. It's the district's discipline and conduct policy and the school's discipline and conduct rules. And then schools will notify of a parent of a student's violation of that and allow a parent to
right.
respond to the notice. So I'm going to reword those. Marshall and I met yesterday.
Do all the schools
There's
use that verbiage to or use those words to call that policy? Are they all called the discipline?
They're going
and
to
conduct
they
policy?
Will
right
be.
Right now it's their safe schools.
It's the safe schools right now, but it's
but
going to be changed.
Change.
That's the proposed change. So that's why we're using a new number.
So we have to let them know to change their
right.
thing.
And it would be for next year's handbooks.
Right.
And do we have handbooks in all of the schools?
But it might be online.
I don't think I got a handbook from Logan High.
It's online. You don't have to have a physical copy.
And that's why...
If it's available, they tell the freshmen are coming in, this is where it is.
So
and it says they distribute it, but that distribution, we did not say mail a copy.
Is that...
We'll distribute, you know...
What about elementaries?
We'll notify them of...
Elementaries have codes of conduct that they have. They're going to have to formalize it a little bit more in terms of where it's located.
So we might not want to call it students, the school student handbook.
And that's what I put in the student mm-hmm. handbook because I didn't know what else
outlined
call
in
it.
A school's
yeah.
code
Let's
of conduct.
The state policy, I keep hearing they use the word, instead of excusing a student, they use the word opting out. Do we use opting out of the test
well,
or
well, that
excusing?
Would be, it could, no, the law says
the law's excusing.
Okay. It's just that, okay.
Yeah, that's just some word verbiage that
okay.
they've used.
That's right.
So that we need to work on a little bit. We need to see how what the principals are doing. And we might want to put acknowledge receipt or, you notice it's, are provided with an opportunity to acknowledge. And Dave and I have been talking about having some policies and other things in order for you to, so say the responsible use policy, the acceptable use. We're thinking that will go to you before you can get online for something, before a student can get online. They and their parents have to go in like you do when you do new software. And so then we have a digital copy of that.
And you say, I accept.
And yeah. I accept. So I don't think we want to limit ourselves to saying, we're going to send you a piece of paper and you get to acknowledge it because yeah. the world is changing.
Absolutely.
And so I will play with some of this. This
yeah.
The other thing we'd like you to do is on the next two pages is support materials for Senate Bill 122. Read through that and see if you feel, as we look at the policy, kind of compare it if we're missing something as we go into second reading, which will be at the next board meeting.
Parents have the right to reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point, the action we're requesting is approval of first reading of this policy.
So what are you asking us to do on this?
Okay.
The
supporting material
stuff is just the law.
Reading the law and then
making sure
just double
up.
Checking from your perspective whether we've hit all of the things that we're supposed to hit.
And I couldn't even find this. We're supposed to be working on it. I could not find it in Utah code yet. It's still just a bill that was passed.
Yeah.
But we're trying
to
get
be ahead.
It. Yeah.
The service doctors fund it.
And so we are.
So we do need a motion.
I will move that we adopt the first read, or was it? We accepted the
first reading.
I second it.
I move it on to a second reading at the next meeting. If you have any changes, please let me know.
Okay, I have a motion made by Ann to accept the first reading of the parental rights policy and to move it forward to a second reading. Motion's been made by Ann, seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good job, Ann and Marshall. Thank you very much. We should have policy on every
We will
agenda.
Be.
Oh, yeah.
We will be. Oh, my. I'm spending my life. I feel yesterday back and forth here. Unfolded.
Just wait.
Oh. I'm
Pat. You had a meeting today, what, about 20 of them you talked about?
Okay. We're on to reports. Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah.
Is on reports? Okay, we're going to start with reports from board members. We will start with Connie.
What a great year. Yeah, I'm really glad I'm on the board. I've appreciated ending up this whole, starting this new year. I just appreciate all the work that everybody's done, Ian and Marshall, you know, for all the policy things, and great start of school. Not a lot of questions. I just have one question. When do we have the ISQ results?
Oh.
ISQ is an interesting process. We went to a new company this last year, and we did it electronically.
Right, that's what you said.
And it was vaporware to begin with, and they promised us we would have something that we could use. We have been fighting with them all the way through. We are meeting, Stacy and I are meeting on Friday, I believe, or having a conference call on Friday because all the things that they said that they fixed, they have not. You cannot go in and easily go through the whole process. A school that worked, it looked great, but we do not have consistency through all eight schools. We are going to be looking at a different route for this next year because if their customer service has been very poor.
Not
for the cost. So, but they will be available. Last year's will finally be available, hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
That will be good because, you know, I'm pretty sure that the results will be good, and that's nice for people to hear.
It will not, you know, even they, one of the things we asked for in the beginning, and they said yes, they would have it, was parental notes, comments. When they actually went to it, didn't have it. They did for the teachers, but they didn't for the parents. And so they made a quick effort at the end to say, yeah, you can. But by that point, people had already signed off. And so we did not get very many parent comments at all. So that was a major flaw in what they did. And we started knowing then that it was going south pretty quick. So it's been continuing. We're about at the tip of Antarctica right now.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Connie. Ann?
Went to a Bridgeland board meeting yesterday. They said that they have four Logan High students who are spending most of their day now out at Bridgeland, except for one or two classes. And they're really excited that more kids are taking advantage of what they have out there. And they're doing a career day that they're actually inviting, and I'll have to make sure you have it, Dave. I'll bet you do from Troy. But they've done a career day for many years and a job fair type thing. They've done the one in the spring that we've all known about. Then they've done this job fair. Well, they're pulling it out a little differently, and they're inviting high school students and parents to come as well so they can see what's available there. Because you bring the kids in middle school, they get excited, but a lot of high school parents don't know what's available out there, because your child can take an evening class for free because they're a high school student. So they're really hoping that that works better and that parents will be excited. I'll make sure you have that information, Dave. And they're doing some good things that way. I hope you all received an email from Patty. If not, you got one from Stacy. We need to get reasonable people, including our teachers, to fill out the survey on Common Core for the governor.
What we've done is I've sent out, we did a district announce to all staff with the request. Also have sent it to principals specifically to talk. And then we're also doing a phone. At this point, we have a phone message. I've asked, some schools have email access to everybody, said, please send this out via email. The last thing is to get it onto the web, and I've asked Dave to do that on our website. Well,
and what I love is that they ask what specific standards do you like or not like? And that's the thing for most of these anti-Common Core people. They can't tell you a standard they don't like. They don't like a book, or they don't like that the federal government did it. But they can't tell you a single standard, and I like that it has the link. So I just encourage all of us to go in, find a few standards you really like, post those, and let's have it be, you know, some reasonable people. Because right now, the whole state of Utah, only 3,000 people have answered it. And we want to help respond to that.
And usually the people who respond first are the ones who are negative.
Right, but so the way they've worded it with the links to the Common Core, it's going to be more and more difficult. And there was a survey that just went out. 44% or 40% said they didn't like the Common Core. And then they couldn't identify what it was.
And, that was with
Marshall,
what's their name?
Just a suggestion on that. I've done the survey, and it's difficult if you haven't read the Common Core
or don't
have some prior experience with it before you do the survey. You can't respond to it. Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem they're having with getting responses isn't that people aren't interested. They just get frustrated with trying to answer the questions. So it might behoove us to put on our website, start here, read some of these things first, and then take the survey if you're interested.
The challenge we have is that the last day of this is August 31st. So we're going to get the best we can, and that's about really where we're at.
Do you want to do a parent link notification on that as well?
If you, again, that's why I sent it to you to do whatever, however we can get it out.
Is it one of those surveys that you can just take once, or can you take it multiple times?
I haven't checked.
I don't remember. Let me try it right now.
It's on the website, so I don't know.
They said they had Tammy told me that they had filtering on their end. What that means, I don't know.
Okay.
But I can give you three different email addresses and take it.
Okay. Good luck with that.
That's all I have.
In my case, I can give you probably
Actually, if you look, they have the core standards on there.
Right, they do.
And then you walk down.
I haven't gone
to. So you can review the core standards and review the mass standards, and then you take the survey. And it does ask you for your name, which is required.
What are you supposed to?
Oh, it does? Oh, so you have to make up your name?
Yep.
You have to make up 8 different names. David Long, Dave Long, D Long.
Okay.
Long D.
Kathy Long.
And I guess it's back up. Some of you know that I ended up speaking at the state board meeting. I ended up being on Channel 13. On Fox News, and what they asked me about, they asked me a bunch of things, and it's interesting because as they told about the Common Core, they did almost some direct quotes from me as they were explaining what the Common Core is, and then they had me saying, well, if you have a fourth grader, don't you want to assure that your student is learning, that the teacher is teaching what a fourth grader needs to know? That's what the Common Core is. Or the Utah's, I called it Utah's.
So core standard.
Core standards.
I referred to it as Utah's.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you, Ann. I appreciate all you do. And you too, Connie. Sorry I didn't say that to you. Please forgive me. James?
I took the opportunity to volunteer at the Wilson School on Monday and spent the whole day in the kindergarten segment. And it was very interesting to watch how the process, I mean, those kindergarten teachers are incredible. Those little kids are, you know, some of them are really squirrely, and it's corralling them and getting them trained just where to sit and how to respond. And they're just masters at getting those little kids to join in the conversation and participate and learn. They covered the first 3 objectives under the leader in me, and so those little kids are talking about, you know, start with the end in mind and being proactive, and they're using the vocabulary and they're trying to figure out what it means and how to use it, and they're coming right along. So by the end of the year, those kids are going to be very proficient at what it means to be a leader in that context. At Wilson, they're currently doing a 3-hour block for 2 times. That means that the kindergarten does 6 hours of teaching. If the whole district goes to that, there's going to have to be some careful looking at what that means, because the buses who came in the afternoon ended up coming really late, so it ended up being really 2.5 hours in the afternoon and 3 hours in the morning. And also, the time that those teachers have for lunch is essentially negligible, because by the time they get the kids out, to get them on the bus and get back in, that's 10 or 15 after the hour. And then the kids who are coming for the afternoon start coming at 20 minutes.
Oh.
At 20 minutes so after the hour. Lunch. So I've got 5 or 10 minutes that I can gobble down my lunch and get ready for the afternoon kids. And
it might improve.
There's been some changes. They had been talked last year in all the schools to maximize the amount of time needed for kindergarten and what that would look like and how that could be done, because we know that there's some time needed. And they're also finding that not a full day kindergarten is not necessarily needed, but additional time is for certain kids. They're also looking at the fact that there are some that are advanced that really need could benefit from an extended time. They did not come to consensus, they meaning the principals or the teachers at that point. So the conversation this year is going to be led by Daryl to go more in depth as to what are our district needs, because within that there are some policy issues and some logistics issues that have to be addressed. First of all, they really can't go 3 hours because we only have 5 hours and 50 minutes of instructional time. If you look at our 8:10 to 2:30, subtract 30 minutes for lunch. It does not add up. So I believe the proposal at Wilson was 2 hours and 55 minutes, but even at that, that's still making it so that there's no turnaround time to on that. So that that has been retracted to relook at, and we're going to look at the whole district because we've got to have some continuity, and we got to have to make sure that we are within policy as well as negotiated agreement for all the teachers and what their time is. So it is a big discussion that we're hoping that will come to you by January, right, for as we develop our plans for next year.
Well, I was just talking about the experience they were having.
Yeah,
and I was there when they changed the schedule, so that's great. I'm glad they're going to get everybody on the same page. But logistically, it's really a big issue. Also, I thought it was interesting to watch how the buses all work, and it's crazy to watch how the parents bring kids in and they're coming in, and then the buses arrive and everybody's out there worrying about the kids getting off the buses and making sure the kids go where they need to go. Of course, it's just the beginning of school year, but it was just interesting to see that, how that all logistically works. I'm glad I'm not in charge of that.
Did you color while you were there?
No, I participated with the groups. I did a little bit of leading the groups through their how to get to centers and what that meant, and how to do that, and how to figure out what color you are and which group you belong to and how you don't have a crash. And so it was very it was a fun day. Went by quickly, but I was exhausted. I'm glad I'm not being a kindergarten teacher anymore. I couldn't do it now. So maybe that's what I record. It was a good experience. So if you get time to go to the schools, it's just marvelous what our teachers do.
Very nice. Thank you, James. I appreciate that. And I think that our staff really, for the most part, likes us to, stop by a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. I have several things to report. First of all, my most important and favorite thing is that my daughter made the JV volleyball team.
Yay!
Which I'm very excited for, and I encourage you to come and participate in volleyball.
Does your daughter go to Logan High?
She does go to Logan High, thankfully. She's carrying on at Logan High, and I will need to have my our trustee vice president conduct a few meetings, as I will be attending volleyball games with her throughout the next couple of months, so it'll be a little bit crazy, so I apologize for that in advance.
When is volleyball season over?
End of October.
Oh.
Yeah, so. But she plays on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so a couple of those Tuesdays I will be late and or not here, so I'm excited for that. It was awesome to go with Marshall and Ann to the Delegate Assembly as well as the Pre-Delegate Assembly, and I really felt like it was a good experience to hear. And Jeff was there. We're grateful to have Jeff there. It's nice to have a business administrator by our side, so we are grateful that you are willing to participate in those functions with us. But I really felt like the pre-delegate assembly was nice. They had Tammy Pfeiffer and Martel Menlove, as well as the state PTA president and
UEA president.
And UEA president.
President of the
State Board of Education. Yeah, so it was very interesting, and Dave Crandall, I was getting it mixed up, was there. So we had a panel discussion with those, and it was pretty interesting to see. Especially I was mostly intrigued by the UEA and the PTA and the State Board. I just thought we hadn't ever heard from those groups before, so it was kind of interesting to be able to have them come and talk with that. So it was fun. We've got an interesting legislative session coming up, and we'll have to be all actively involved in getting the things done that we need to have done that support public education. It was great to be able to go on the bus ride with the sixth graders. I think my favorite part was talking to a bus driver that's been driving bus for us for 23 years.
Who is that?
Her name is Cindy. She drives bus in Cliffside. Bus number one in Cliffside has been driving since way before we even combined with Cash. So she was a former employee of Blade Law. Yep. So it was really interesting to be able to talk with her and to, she has very nice bus discipline, and it was a great experience. I've never been on bus one with Cindy before.
Her bus has eyelashes.
Her bus has eyelashes. So
it's really cute.
I had some parents ask me about school lunch. Are we still with pay schools? I'm like, I don't know.
We're now with pay for it.
Okay.
It was accessed the same way that pay schools was accessed. Pay for it allows them to pay in cash at the district, at the school office, by check, by credit card here at the district office, or by credit card online.
Okay. Oh, nice. Online credit card. So we might want to add that to our September work session, just to have a kind of an update on that, because I'm like, I think we're still doing pay schools, but I knew we'd had some conversation about going a different direction, but I wasn't quite sure what the direction we had landed on, so sounds good to me. We have our first Logan High football game on Friday, and I would assume Marshall and or Stacy will get us information. They're going to be doing a opening season football here, unveiling of our brand new field on Friday, so Mike Hansen's working on that, so hopefully we'll be able to attend and support the opening of the new football field with your athletic association pass.
You know what time or anything?
Would be before the game, probably.
Yeah, it'll be before or
seven.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know what time it is. But my favorite thing that I want to report on that will take just a few minutes of time, and I apologize for that, is I had a opportunity yesterday to meet with Ellen and Annette, as well as Mosi, came up from Provo to meet with us about what counts. As we go forward with replacing our superintendent, we had Annette and Ellen wanted to understand better the what counts process and how we ran the what counts process. And so they invited Mosi up, and I once again barged in on that meeting because I really felt like that background information would be nice for Ellen and Annette to know with Mosi, and Mosi was really grateful that I was there. So it was a great discussion, and I think they came away, Annette and Ellen came away with a better understanding of the what counts process. We decided during that two-hour meeting that at first it kind of was focused on how are we going to incorporate what counts in our search for superintendent and how is that going to move forward. And Annette and Ellen kind of had, in my mind, kind of the concept of redoing what counts over again. And I just like, no, if we want to do what counts over again, we would have done a real what counts session. Really what we want to do is use that process to choose, help us to better understand what the community wants in a superintendent. So if you think back, and Connie, I'm just going to, because you weren't there, you didn't come, did you? Were you invited guest to what counts? I think so.
That was the year after you had retired.
Yeah, I don't think you were there. Okay, the two questions that Mosi asked during the what counts sessions, the first one is, what do you appreciate or value about your local public school? So that was question number one. And question number two is, what is a quality school? So from those two questions, the what is a quality school is the only question that we actually ranked in order. The first one, we just got their juices flowing and the process going. But the second one is really where they actually put their chits on their paper. So we kind of talked about it first, that maybe we just kind of really need to do, because really our superintendent search isn't about establishing the character of a superintendent. Really what we don't want, I don't think that our intent as a board is to hear, well, we want them to be nice and we want them to have an education or an educator. I mean, I think we all understand that we want someone that has, you know, we're not really out there to determine his character. So really what we came up with is that we're going to use our previously established information that came out of What Counts, which is our belief statements and our TRACS vision statement, to springboard us into the conversation about how is our next superintendent going to help us move forward with our vision statement and help us move forward with TRACS.
Move the TRACS.
Yes. So that's the process that we kind of established, is we'll have that, and we'll talk about this in our work session in September. But what I need to have from you is, we as a board have to figure out what our questions are going to be that helps us to get the information out to the community those two questions that we have to ask, because we can't say what is a quality superintendent. We have to say here's our track, here's our belief statements, here's our tracks. This came out of our community meetings. What kind of superintendent do we have that will help us move forward with these?
You know, and part of me said, oh, we're just going to get what we already know.
And we are.
But it's the process yep. that's important, so that people feel like they're part of the process, whether it's educators or community members. We gave input. You then chose from the people who applied the person who would best meet these goals.
I would take the word feel and say no, so they know they have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also talked about that the initial... I'm sorry, Marshall, did we have my... The initial conversation when we had the What Count session was we had 100 people that participated from community and 100 people that participated from staff, give or take a little. And then what we'll do, what we thought about is doing, this is all just preliminary because I said I'll talk to the board tomorrow, board meeting, is the same process as we'd have 100 people from community and 100 people from staff, and we would draw from our previous list some of those people that are still in the system and have and re-invite them to the next our next walk counts session for superintendent. And then what we'll do is we'll take out from the walk counts invited list and narrow that down to the core people who will come and help us through the interview process and do the process that we have established for choosing our last few administrators and principals. So those people will be involved in both
processes. Which is a good way to choose who does it, because otherwise we're so arbitrary about
who chooses those 100 people.
What we did last time, yes, we came together and had, so we'll have, you know, five of us, and we just went, so we took the list and went community members, okay, well, we're going to want to invite the mayor, so we automatically deduct, you know, subtracted the people that we would all nominate, and then the rest of us came up with
community council
presidents, yes,
PTA.
You want to get 100 people that are reflective of the community.
Yeah.
And so you want to make, so one person could fill multiple roles.
But we all nominated. So then you'll come to the table with your 25 people that, well, we'll take off the logical ones off the top, and then you'll say, okay, Connie, you're going to come up with 20 people that you would like to have represent. And of course, Stacy has to be the... She has to be the...
What?
Secretary extraordinaire that can, you know, merges those lists together to make sure we're not double.
An address and phone number.
Yeah.
That's a lot easier than just saying the person's name.
And the same thing will happen with staff, is we'll all nominate maybe, what, 2 people from each school?
I know, like, when I find myself thinking about, okay, you know, pardon me.
Oh, you're right down.
I'm the one not using
it. Yeah, good job. We're on record.
I apologize to myself. I couldn't even hear me. That's embarrassing to be the one who wasn't using the microphone. When I think about those 25 people now, okay, or however they're chosen, and like I just think about all the teachers in the district, and I think to myself, well, I would want that person on because they're nothing, they complain about everything. And then I want this other person on because they like everything.
Mm-hmm. And we
that's
did
what
that.
You want. We
okay.
said there's.
And we often put them at the same table.
And Mosi said yeah. that's one thing she emphasized with Ellen and Annette, is that you want to have your supporters and you want to have your naysayers all there so that you've got buy-in from you know, a wide variety of people. So... The only thing that I thought about it overnight, is they suggested doing a mini session with just principals. And I'm not sure I feel comfortable about that. I kind of feel like we didn't pull the principals out when we did What Counts before. So they suggested doing a staff, a community meeting, as well as a staff meeting, and then just a mini session for principals. And I don't feel like that's probably... I think maybe we could put all the principals at one table,
you,
but I'm
you
not...
You need
if not through that process, you need to have a vehicle for them because they're in a totally different position than other mm-hmm. staff members. They are supervised by this yeah. person. They are directly supervised. So it is different. They're not going to give you the depth of knowledge that will allow you to pick the best person. You've got to find a vehicle and whatever, you know, and again, they suggested that, but you've got to find a vehicle to sit down with your principals about their leader.
Principals and district office, because
administration. Your principals and your administration need to have a vehicle, mm-hmm. and whether you do it through this way or something, you've got. My encouragement is you've got to have a separate vehicle for them.
But we didn't do that before.
I know that, and they don't. And in their reflection back to me afterwards, is that. While they could be in agreement, they did not feel that they had much voice.
And that some of their statements, and I had it then, and I've also had some say to me now, don't sit me in a room with educators and other staff members
right.
and say, you know, anything about a superintendent, because they will either assume that saying Marshall wasn't good or that they're saying he was only good, and then the teachers feel like they can't say anything because
it goes both ways.
This principal right. The principal at my table is going to tell my principal who's right. over there on the other table.
But the other thing is it also having them involved with the staff members, I think it gives teachers an understanding of, oh, that's how my principal feels. I mean, it could be both directions.
But that isn't what you want. I agree that you should have the principals alone, because it doesn't matter how the teachers think the principals feel. The teachers matter how the teachers feel. And so when they give their input, they should just be giving their input from their own viewpoint, not influenced by, well, my principal said it was different, so I'll vote.
It's another filter right. for you. It's just additional right. information. By combining them, I don't believe you would get the clarity that you would get if they were separate.
All right, so if that's the case and we do one for administrators, then I wouldn't want any of the administrators at the staff one.
Right.
Because we had said that we were going to have administrators be the scribes. If that's the case, then those guys are off the table.
You know what? We were the scribes last time.
Yes, well, we were, but we have to have more than us. You'll have to have more than five board members, because you only have 8 people at a table. So we're going to have to solicit, you know, at least five or six more members to facilitate, to be able to be the scribes. So, and I thought, well, you know, district administration can be there, but I would think if that's the case, then we'll need to separate it totally.
I just don't think any group should be have their opinions or their feelings or anything they want to say influenced by another body that deals with the superintendent in a totally different capacity.
Well, if that's the case, then we shouldn't be there either.
Because we're asking for the input, though.
Well, yeah, but the principal may say, I'm not going to tell you how I feel, because you're on the school board.
They may say,
stop someplace.
Come to me and tell me what they would, you know.
Well, yeah, but you may have some people there that would not be as direct with their feelings if you're being the scribe.
That's right, but that will be with every group. There are some people that will, it stops at the school board. We are the gatherers of the information from whatever group. So if a person chooses to not say anything because they don't want the school board to hear it, well, then they had a chance and they didn't do it. But if they don't want to say anything because the person sitting next to them is their principal, that's different.
I think the process works because we are the scribes. And
yes.
that puts us in a nice position of just being writing down what people say. And I don't think they necessarily hold back anything, because we're not making judgment. We're just writing. So I think we become fairly neutral very quickly because of the role we play. So I think that process works as good as any other process, because we take ourselves out and become neutral. I agree that we probably need a time with principals because they're the primary people subject to their superintendent. So I think that's a good idea. It's just that, you know, we need to make sure that we have enough time to do all this.
So do we eliminate, do we ask beforehand which principals may have intentions on applying? Because if their intentions are applying for the superintendent, then I don't think they should be participating in what
it
counts.
Doesn't matter if they're there or not, because we're going to have an open invitation anyway. I mean, the expectations for the applicant will be coming out of this out of these meetings. They can know that up
front.
And
it's one voice.
It's one voice. So I don't
you just let them participate.
Sure. I don't see a problem with that.
We know we can use the five of us plus Lisa. Right?
Right.
We can use the five of us plus Lisa
got Jeff,
Hopkins.
And you've got Jeff.
And we've got Jeff. And, you know, and if we say that the role is this and we have a district office person just writing, not making, you know, and we're not even, you notice how sometimes Suzanne will say, clarify that for me. When we're doing our process, she's very good to just say, clarify that for me. Is this a positive or is this a negative?
Who did we use before? I know I was one, but did we have more than the six of us?
Well, you have to because you have eight. Yeah, because we had.
Who else did we use?
I don't remember using. We used district office people.
Sure. And I don't know why that would interrupt this like a principal would. Staff. A district office person with staff has no direct evaluation role.
Well, we'll have to. That's one of the things we have to think about.
Or we could cut it to 60, and only do six people or seven people, including Jeff.
Okay. So, but the thing that we have to come up with before. Are or that we'll talk about because the question has to be formulated. The two questions have to be formulated at our September 9th board meeting, which would be something that we can grasp the information from them in a positive manner about how our superintendent's going to carry forward with our tracks and vision statement.
Okay. I think Jim would be really good at.
Well, I'll have my ideas, but I expect everybody to have ideas.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll put that down as an item for our September work session.
Yeah, and that'll be.
Okay.
Yeah.
September 9?
That's bored me. So it was a really good meeting and.
We'll understanding.
And we'll move forward, and we started the ball rolling for that. So, I would anticipate that we will set the time frame. About when we'll hold the meetings and when we need to start gathering the lists. And Stacy, I know, sent some stuff out today, so I haven't had a chance to look at that, but of, you know, the information that she has from our last meeting, because I see no reason about not inviting the people that we had that we can still invite to participate again, because they at least they understand, you know, where the Watt Council statements or our belief statements came from. So,
are you comfortable in me just assisting her in getting the list? Just the general list ready.
We'd be happy to have you do that.
I do not want to put myself into anything, but that might be a good two-person job.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to come and help too. So,
yeah, I like this. I like this because sometimes committees are formed to choose an administrator. I can remember when they would just go, okay, who is the department chair? You know, and it was like, well, so you get that person's opinion on everything. Nobody else.
And we just make sure that we have, you know, a representation from everybody. And then as far as the staff's concerned, we just do, you know, make sure there's enough secondary as well as, you know, a representation from each of the elementary schools.
And if they can't come, we ask them to let us know so we can find a replacement
who's
in a similar
RSVP.
Position.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm busy every Wednesday night and we do it on a Wednesday night, I better pass ask
right.
that they resubmit.
Thanks,
all right.
Christy. That's a lot of work.
It's exciting. Mostly a delight. She was thrilled. She was so excited that we were using the Watt Counts process.
Who was?
Mostly. She's the one that walked us through the Watt Counts. And I think that she would be, I know we had talked about having Ellen and or Annette do the session, and I'm maybe we invite Mulsey back. That'll be a discussion we'll have to have on September 9th. But I think she would be, I think she's a delight, and she does such a good job. She was, and she didn't even charge us to come up, just gas money. She didn't charge us a consulting fee. Mulsey White. She's really
the former national school board president, well as the state. She was a member of the board in Provo.
Oh, I haven't met this person yet.
She's a delight.
Okay.
She's the one that we presented with at National when we went to and presented in Chicago. So we have kind of a relationship, and it will be fun to see how we, you know, use what counts going forward. So, all right, that's all I have. Let's see. Now we have a report from our business administrator, Jeff.
Yay, Jeff.
Go, Jeff.
Okay.
We're so thrilled to have you.
So did you have any questions?
We just want to back that up for your first formal presentation.
Yes, I have questions.
Okay.
I'm married to a finance guy. He taught me to look for variances.
Okay.
So under, on the first page, I see that on other uses of financial sources, we have a 336.52% there.
Okay,
what
is
that?
The June financial.
Is that just the June financial? To me, it's the whole. So this is this June.
June 30th. That's so. It's the year end. Now, and this is.
So that was my question. Is this year end? Is this
year? So you're familiar with seeing these?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Because Adam's put these together, but
well, now this is very different than what we're used to seeing.
Yeah,
truly,
funny.
It is totally different than what we're used to seeing, and that's why I need to know what it is and how it's.
How different is it from what Zane gave you?
Because it's multiple pages. It's more like a budget report.
Well, he's given you last year's, and then he's given you this year's, but within each of the funds.
So
I thought I apologize.
It is quite a bit different than what we have ever received. And so that's my question of what it is. And then I always look over on the other side of it's 90%, it's 300%, that kind of thing. And I'm confused. So, because I've been taught to look for variances.
I thought it looked like exactly the budget, same thing we have.
If it's within the budget, great. But we've never gone through every single fund like this. And
Zane's
has usually been a two-page. It's been more.
This is a two-page.
Two-page?
Yeah, it is two pages. It's just.
All right.
It's just
two-page. Yeah.
So there are 3 months here, and that's the difference. Okay. Well, it has a lot different numbers.
It's fiscal year 14, and then there's fiscal year 15 beginning of. So that's.
I think this goes back.
So that's why there are the different pages, because it's different months. Well, and that's where I was confused.
There's two different reports.
So much here. Okay.
Okay, there's the board financial reports for 14, and then there's the first report, which is July of 15.
And it was based upon what Zane did. So that's what I'm confused.
And these are actuals. And so and I've got some questions, too, and I was trying to get with Adam today, and I wasn't able to get with him. But that. Other uses of financial sources. That $50,000 is the difference. Is basically what we subsidize the. It used to be the fund 20. What is it? The fund 21 student account fund, and so we transfer $50,000 from there. And so I'll get with Adam and find out why that's $168,000. Because they had budgeted for $50,000, and so there may be some things.
Yeah, that number.
Is that because maybe at the end of year brought in people who paid like their student fees or their end of year?
It was more of an those are expenditures. So
this is a transfer from one fund to the other. So I don't know. I've got to get with Adam and find out.
Well,
exactly.
As I looked at this, I thought there are some interesting numbers here, and. Not in a way that I've seen it before,
okay.
So I had concerns and questions.
Yeah, and so like the instruction, that $10 million, that's I think 3 or 4 months that are combined together. And so if you look on the other report, that same instruction number for current is $327,000, because that was just for the month of July, and so you didn't have a lot of instruction going on. And And so, and that also, that $10 million also includes the teacher payroll for June, which includes the July and August as well. So you've, for the teachers, you're looking at, I believe you said the last one you did was in March. So you're, if that's the case, you're looking at April, May, June, July, and August for teacher salaries. They're all on.
Well, that's why I'm totally report. Confused with this report, because it's different than what I've seen in the past.
Okay. But I will check with that, because that transfer should have just been a transfer. And so, you know, Zane's budgeted here that he was going to transfer $50,000 from that account to the other account. And so it may be that in putting this together, there's something else. That's an 800 function, so there may be something else in the 800 function that's showing up there that shouldn't be. I'll have to check with Adam and make sure what that is and get to the bottom of that.
You know, I don't have a problem with 101% or 102%, but whenever I see a 336%.
That, I believe, has to do with, I would bet, it's the high school, and it has something to do with the amounts that we send over for their extra pay for extra services for athletics.
Yes.
That's about the amount. So
the 50,000 or the 116?
116,000.
Okay, so the 168,000.
So then if it's really that much, my question is, if it was only budgeted 50,000, aren't we going to get written up that we've overspent what was budgeted?
Remember, this is not what goes to the state. This is just for you.
Okay, but this is just for me saying, we've got a problem here.
Yeah.
The way it's been accounted for.
And again, that was also this last year when the transition could have occurred in the difference between Fund 21 and Fund 10.
Okay.
Which
well,
is the things that we
still
need to find.
Where I'm concerned,
yes,
because
will,
it doesn't right. make sense.
I'll follow up with him and get to the bottom of that and
okay.
find out what that is.
I'd appreciate that.
If you will go, and I think I just am going back into 2012.
2012.
I just, in terms of it is identical. What you're seeing here is identical to what our, when we had Zane doing monthly,
mm-hmm.
it is identical to what Zane was doing in terms of the format.
Well, I always ask, whenever those numbers are like that, that's
right.
what my husband's taught me. You look for those variances that are extreme, because otherwise
no.
it's within budget and it's not a problem. But whenever you've
right.
got an outlier, that's where you question.
Most of the rest of those are fairly close.
They are. And, right. and I don't have a problem when they're fairly close or they're mm-hmm. below. But, you know, a 31% for community services. But when it's that much more expenditure,
yeah.
I have a concern.
I'll get with Adam and get to the bottom of what that is. And it may have been something that's miscoded, you know, because Zane should have been on top of how much was going to be transferred there. But it may be that in this report, Adam didn't understand what that was just the transfer portion of that was budgeted.
Okay, that was my big question, was that mm-hmm. one, because it was supposedly year-end, and mm-hmm. that didn't look good.
And he did put down for fiscal year 15, he also has put in a placeholder of $50,000, so I'm wondering if that, I'm not sure, as Zane built the budget, if you look at fiscal year
yeah.
15, you'll see the same
and
area.
Basically, he's got them spending $200,000, and they're spending $200,000, but we are
supplementing $50,000 to help cover that.
$50,000 to cover it, and so it's the difference between those amounts.
So we're contributing $50,000 to their activity fund or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that I understand, but it just
yes.
doesn't.
And that's why it was 168. It may be that he's taking those expenses instead of just the transfer amount.
Right, so that's my question.
That's what I would get to the bottom of.
Yeah, that would be great.
With Adam and make
yeah,
sure
that's
clear.
You don't want to have that kind of over expenditure. It's a lot.
Yeah, and you know, and I know with capital, we're planning on some of those, even though it's, you know, $520,000 in the red, but it's 112%,
yeah.
and that I don't have a concern about 112% when I know
mm-hmm.
about our capital expenditures. I do have a real concern with that other.
Yeah. All right, I will follow up on that.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anything else? Anything else with the We also had the summary of the check registers, the cash receipts. Any questions on any of those?
Okay. And then again, before we leave, he has the information for health insurance that has to be done before the 31st. So we need to do it as much as quickly as we can. If you cannot stay today, then we need to make an appointment with you so that you can get it done. Because everyone has to re-enroll, even if you are opting out.
Okay, anything else, Jeff?
No.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, Marshall.
Okay, just one area was interesting that the newspaper today had just one article on the ACT for one school and didn't refer to any of the others, especially for us because we took, if you look at our composite, we went up almost a half a percent. We went from 20.5 to 20.9 this year. And for that's for all of our students. And
what's looking the number on that? How many kids?
408 students.
Versus
and the composite for the state is 20.8.
So we
are better than the state. Yeah. We knew. Remember, we took a dip. I went back and looked at 2008. We were at 23.5 or something like
when
that.
Only
we were,
certain kids
but that was only a very small number, 150, less than 200. But now having the entire, and we actually did this before. We were early adopters of the ACT for all students, and I think it's done us well. I think we have done extremely well to get back to where we were. When you look at our demographics taking this test, including South, that compared to what the county is doing, you'll see. And I have no idea what the counties are. The state only does the state; it does not break it down by district. So until we get the paper,
and what was
I won't know.
What was the score in the newspaper today of the school in the paper?
It was 24, something like that.
Well,
it was the highest
who
in the
took
state.
The ACT? I don't know how many who took
it. Was the highest.
So
I read
one of the pluses percent. On this is that we went from a 20.8 in science to 21.3, so a full 0.5
the rest
increase.
Of the state is low in
we actually went up in every single area of that, the English language, mathematics, reading, and science. So
did the state go up in math and science?
The state went.
I don't know why they changed.
They stayed the same. No, they went up. They stayed the same in reading. They went up in math by a small amount. They went up in language arts, so smaller. It went from 19.4 to 20.2, almost a full point in language arts. For us, between years 2013 to 2014.
Marshall, you know something? I'm asking something else. Something I really appreciate about our board is so it's like I'm at that small school, okay, but and I hardly ever use the name. But the thing is that I don't understand. One thing I don't understand is why the newspaper doesn't report on all of our schools. You know, on the charter school, Skyview, Mountain Crest, Logan, South.
South will be with us, but Cash.
Fast forward all of them, you know, report all of
them. It would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they may still be doing it. I don't know, but she has not made contact with us.
Who hasn't?
Kelly.
Okay, yeah. I don't know
why.
The
paper has not made contact
with
us.
But the thing I appreciate about our board is this, okay? We like that students, wherever they go to school, are successful.
Well, it'll be interesting to me, too, because it's the...
And if you feel any different, in speak now and forever after.
Kira was the first year of implementation of Common Core. When she started sixth grade, that's when we changed the math standards, was in her grade. So it'll be interesting when we have testing for next year with her group, right, on ACT to see
and
if
we won't, and we won't see her scores for 2 years. See, this is on seniors who graduated in June of 2014, but they took the test, for the most part, they took tests in 2013.
So, but nonetheless.
So we'll start, we won't have the data for her until 2 years from now.
And that was one of the things I was confused with today's newspaper. It was, this is graduating seniors, and I thought, but we give this test.
I know,
to
but the way ACT publishes it, they take, because they have the opportunity of taking all the way through their senior year, they take all of that data, and once they've graduated, then they release it for the seniors.
So our kids who took it as a junior, it goes from junior to senior, and then they release it?
Then that's enough. This number of the seniors, actually, they took it and actually in the spring of 2013.
Unless they retook it.
Unless they retook it.
And then they took the best of the score they got.
Correct.
For that report. Okay. So it will still be interesting to see what happens if that goes up with...
Well, and then the ACT is going to be changing in 2 years, too, so that'll be really interesting.
Well, and what's also interesting is, you know, I also think it's probably the upper-level kids who take it multiple times.
Yes.
Because they're wanting that higher score, and so, I don't know about you, but we did the ACT prep, whatever stuff, to try to get higher, and...
No, we with gear up now at the high school, starting with the freshmen this year, that will be a big push because their focus is getting those that are underrepresented to be focusing in on college. And in order to focus on college, you're going to have to take the ACT.
Kids so. That take it the most often, whether I was at Logan High or any place.
That's
and
it.
The kids that get like between 13 and 17.
Oh, really? So the lower end kids?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Wow.
To get.
Oh, so they don't have to take those prep classes then.
All right. Thank you, Marshall. We appreciate all you do as well. And now the calendaring items. The only thing that I have really is the Stacy will get us the information about the community councils and then the football game this Friday. We'll find out about that and what the board's involvement will be with the football field. And then we will have upcoming region meetings, but they don't have them scheduled yet. So I'm sure they'll be coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but there's nothing on the USBA website that tells us when those will be. So,
what is the community council? What did you say?
Stacy will let us know the dates of the community council.
And you need to go to two between now
and
December.
Okay, I received an email today from Patty Harrington stating that today in the Legislative Education Task Force, your USBA and USSA leaders were asked to invite you to a conference on Tuesday and Wednesday,
September
30th and October 1st.
I have no idea what it's about.
In Cedar City, and the topic of the conference will be teachers/leader preparation and use of technology in education. I do not yet have an official registration form, but wanted you to know of the dates and the invitation as you consider your calendars and commitments.
We need to find out
and we
about
should send, it would be great if we could have a board representative and at least one or two other people, just because we want to let the legislature know where we are and how we feel. I'm getting on, Ray.
Or whoever wants to go.
I don't think I got the same notification.
I bet you.
I don't. It's done by the legislature, and I don't know. Again,
Legislative
this is
Education
the first,
Task Force.
The first that I've seen it. I don't know what it is. We'll find out about more
of it
tomorrow.
Yeah, so find out about it. I just thought that was fascinating to get today.
What would they have in the middle of the week?
In Cedar City, because that's when the legislature.
And we don't know. I don't know how if it's limited. I don't know if it's large. I don't know who the audience, what they want. So.
So I just think we need to be up on it.
We have a board meeting that day.
October 30th and September 30th.
Don't we have a board meeting on 30th?
No, that's the board meeting's on the 28th.
Oh, that's the with Logan City.
No, that's
do have a meeting.
So, but someone could still go and miss that if need be. So.
30th and 30th, October. Oh, we have a board meeting on the 30th? Is that with the city?
That's the city. It's the fifth. It's the fifth Tuesday.
Yeah, it was during city council board meeting.
And that's the one we're trying to, give them the information about the city and then also about the building.
Okay. Is that going to be at? That'd
be ours.
5 o'clock.
It'll be a 5 o'clock. We believe. I don't know what we have not set that with the city yet. Whenever they have their meetings.
Do you guys have any other calendaring items? All right. Then we will adjourn this board meeting at 9:24. Thanks to all of you. Oh, there's Adam. Maybe he could answer our question right now.
That's what Jess asked.
No, we're not. Yes, we are. We'll do it after.